This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. Transformers! For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 400-something. Something recorded on a day that's probably Wednesday. Who cares? I'm XV and Kilby's not here. Can you tell?
It's 437. He sent us the number. It's.
I know. I put it in the show notes too. I'm just like I'm trying to ruin the show. Diecast, play along. It's September 30th. Tomorrow is October. That's why everybody has Halloween or sometimes Christmas stuff out already. It's just that time of year. I went to Aldi today and they had all their like pumpkin flavored stuff right by the front door and it was disgusting. So joining me on RFC this week, we have Rob Clay, John DeLuna, not on video as usual, Diecast, who is graciously producing the show for us this week in Kilby's absence.
Don't tell him that. Last time you told him that, I got angry messages.
I thought
He said he's not going to show pictures either.
No, we're going to try and show pictures. We're going to try and
Yeah,
do
that's
that.
Actually the whole reason that I'm running show and Diecast is producing, so we can actually focus on showing the stuff we're talking about instead of getting overwhelmed doing both. So we also have Matt, a.k.a. Melvar, and Don, the headmaster, Ferguson.
Hey, guys.
So, how's everybody doing?
I'm doing excellent.
Not bad.
Good.
Okay.
And Matt abstains.
I'm just killing time till TFCon in a couple weeks.
That is right around the corner, isn't it? That's not the only thing around the corner either, but we'll talk about that a little bit more later in the show. So, why don't we just go ahead and get this out of the way. Diecast, what did you get this week?
Oh, I got a very nice test shot of Fans Toys Grenadier. The funny thing about this is I received it today. It is the test shot, but some of the stores already received the actual production versions of these that should be going out to customers, so I'm a little late, but it is here, and I transformed it for the first time on the pre-show, and it's very nice. It's not as complicated as I thought it was going to be, but it's such a hefty figure. It just feels like there's so much quality in it, and it's I really do love the look of it.
Don, what's going on?
Something fell off and it bounced, and I'm trying to catch it, and it didn't land where it was supposed to.
Was it Kronos? Oh, because that'll definitely break it.
Leave my Kronos alone. It's time you left. It's time you left Kronos alone.
Don, we don't want anything to do with your Kronos. Trust me. So it looks like it's a slow week for us to, you know, gotten anything. But I mean, we're kind of in between bigger releases here. Anybody else get anything? And just forget to edit the notes.
Yeah, I got Carrie too. I forgot to put that in the notes.
How are you liking that?
It's, you know, it's definitely really nice. I mean, I think it's about the same as the test shot from what I can remember, other than the fixed paint on the chest. But yeah, it's a good figure. Some people are getting them and they're kind of scratched up. They're kind of some, you know, scuff marks on the red plastic on top. Mine had a little bit of that going on, but it's one of the pieces that compresses into the backpack anyway, and mine's gonna stay in robot mode forever, so I don't mind it that much. But it seems like they just needed to add a piece of thin, like clear, whatever that plastic is that they put down in them sometimes before they close it.
You mean clear plastic?
Yeah, it's almost like the Saran wrap almost.
Cellophane.
Oh, like the thick plastic bags.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I mean they could do, or I mean like probably one of the clear plastic shells that they put over stuff in the Hasbro packaging sometime probably would have helped that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, just something to protect the paint apps. Yeah.
Well, I've got Diecast. I've got Carrie coming.
He has Diecast, so that's yes. Kind of the same thing.
But are you running into the problem with the Target Master not being held properly? Are you running into that from what I've heard?
I mean, if you turn him upside down, he's going to fall out. I mean, yeah, I mean, you know, but I never turned my figures upside down while they were holding a gun. If you're going to go like this, I'm holding RC and jiggling her. I mean, yeah, I mean, she can. Wow. That didn't come out right. She was the figure I had next to me. It'll fall out. Yeah, I mean, but yeah, I haven't had a problem. I put him in my detofs and put the gun in his hand, and it's fine.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard that's the one thing I've heard that's wrong with the figure as far as overall is the Target Masters just isn't held that well. And I mean, you can use the Masterpiece Rodimus Photon Eliminator if you wanted to use that. And it looks pretty good. What is it?
Here we go.
No, but I'm.
Got our fingers crossed for that attack this week.
I hope not. I don't need a Massey attack this week.
Don, I keep telling you, if you just get some Kevlar stuff, Massey can attack
audience,
all he wants, and you'll never know.
The audience needs one.
Yeah.
Well, think of others, Don.
Well, then you can go to my Patreon
don't
page.
Don't be so selfish.
And the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few, Don.
Oh, did you see that Christmas ornament? Did you see that Star Trek 2 Christmas ornament?
Nothing Remember says Merry one. Christmas like death by radiation poisoning. Yes.
Yeah, commemorate this holiday season in your home with an eternal memento of that time Spock died in the engine core. Oh, yeah. Boy.
And we have our other member joining us live.
Massey, attack. Attack. Kill. Well, don't kill. That'd be kind of gruesome. But
yeah.
Draw some blood, Massey. Draw some blood. Plenty of target there in front of you to work with.
Hello, Massey.
Right. So anyway, I guess if nobody else has anything, we can move on to This Week in History. So this week in 1985. Oh, there we go.
Thank you, Massey.
I just had to try to move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
It's all about.
Bad.
He's like, oh, this is my cue.
Good cat. Good cat.
You think he would get like a bag of catnip and every time Massey starts to attack, just like throw it. Go get the catnip. Leave me alone.
Oh, wow. That catnip is when the camera's rolling, Don.
Hey. You put them
Don't
ears
worry,
up.
We'll get back to the show in just a second.
You put them ears up.
All right, well, no one can say this show was a failure this week because we had a Massey attack, so.
A pretty good one, too, from the look of it.
Don't you get mad at me.
I'm just going to get a quick drink while Don's dealing with that.
Hey.
And Kevlar will not help, with, by the way, Don, what you really need is chainmail.
Ah, yeah, chainmail.
Hey, get in your window.
You know, Don, women love a man in a nice chainmail suit.
So I've heard.
Surely you joust.
Oh, dear. Matthew, he hit him again. Right, so anyway, this week in 1985, the Transformers episode Enter the Nightbird premieres in the U.S. because giant ninja robot for science.
And the episode that lost 1,000 ships.
Well, no, it just launched the one particular ship that wouldn't die. But, you know, in about 3 weeks, we are going to actually get our first official transforming Nightbird toy.
Yep.
Which is actually quite remarkable to me, and even more remarkable, being a minor retool and recolor of RC, it looks really good.
It looks fantastic, yeah.
It's like the straight out prettiest toy from that set of three, and Slipstream's not bad looking either.
I still prefer Slipstream, but yeah, that Nightbird.
I mean, Slipstream's nice for being colorful, but like I really dig just the clean silver and black Nightbird's got going. It's really tasteful.
You know, since I'm not reading the comics, I'm not quite sure what the relationship of the Transformers are to Earth at this point. But it seems like this would be an opportunity for them to work Nightbird into the comics in some fashion.
I mean, yeah, you say that going in blind, but like the stuff that's going on, I could totally see that actually being a thing that could happen in the current state of the Earthside storyline.
But, yeah, but this is a Takar release, too, so and I'm going to assume that these three figures are three that we're not going to see stateside. So if you want them, import them.
We might see these toolings out of a BotCon set or something at some point, but I've had these on pre-order since they were announced. Jump on these now from Takara. Don't wait.
Absolutely.
Because I was not real big on the animated Black Arachnia. I just didn't care much for the figure. But with what they've done to it to turn it into Beast Wars Black Arachnia, I'm actually tempted by it now.
And it'll be a lot cheaper than a BotCon toy.
Don likes the Black Arachnia figure with its new enhancements.
What do you mean?
Right, so anyway, also this week in 1999, Beast Wars Metals, the fighting game, came out for Nintendo 64 and PlayStation, and about 2 years later, I think it had a port to the U.S. The interesting thing is, like, the PlayStation version had some notability at the time it came out in Japan, but I had never even known there was a Nintendo 64 version before the localization happened. Like, everybody seemed to ignore that one.
Well, I think if I may be wrong, and if I am, I'm sure y'all will tell me and laugh at the same time. But at one of them was only a Nintendo 60. The Nintendo 64 I thought was only available through Blockbuster, if I'm thinking of the right version.
Well, right, but it also came out in Japan, which was what this news item is mainly the Japanese release. Nobody at the time seemed to be talking about the Nintendo 64 version in Japan. I just kind of found that odd. Like, everybody focused on that there was the PlayStation. Probably, though, because people were already modding PlayStations and importing games. That's probably... I don't know if the Nintendo 64 was region-locked, but it was a much more common thing, it felt like, to import PlayStation games at that time. Of course, I wasn't one of the cool kids with the mod chip PlayStation, so...
Yeah. I had one.
On the PlayStation 1, you don't even need a mod chip. You just need a Game Shark and a spring. Because if you have one of the types of Game Shark that plugs into the back of the system, the original version, if you have the spring to, you know, tell the system there's still a disc in there, you put in a US disc, you wait for it to stop spinning, you put the other disc in, and you hit start game. It's great.
Man, cheat devices are the best. I wish we still had them.
Seriously. But the
online multiplayer ruining everything.
Yeah.
The N64, I don't remember how difficult it is to actually play import games on that. It might be a matter of cartridge slot, but shape, like the Genesis.
I was actually thinking the actual board inside might have like a little notch or something that distinguishes them. Something like I think there was like some little physical difference to make that difficult. You had to cut something.
Yeah, like the Super Nintendo, but I don't remember. Also, just PlayStation, of course, was the more popular system, so it just got more press in general.
But, I mean, to Don's point, when it came out in the U.S., Blockbuster had exclusive distribution of the Nintendo 64 version. You can only get it as a rental. Or, you know, if your Blockbuster would sell games, which occasionally happened. But even that in mind, like when people think about and talk about the Transmetals fighting game, usually they talk more about the Nintendo 64 version because that had a lot more content in it. More and different playable characters, more like storyline to it than the PlayStation version.
Really weird dichotomy
between releases.
Yeah. And the PlayStation version had your alternate hidden characters, like Windraiser, which was the BotCon exclusive, and I'm trying to remember who the others were.
There was Tigatron in there.
Yeah. From the so Windraiser.
To be fair, I can't really remember a lot of them, but I'm telling you, there was more on the Nintendo 64, and it actually had like storyline, like. And in the Nintendo 64 version, like, you could play Waspinator, and he had, like, a Starscream alternate skin, I think. Like, there was actually cooler stuff in the Nintendo 64 version that came out. So anyway, enough of this look back into the past. Let's go on to the news. And I have some great news for everybody. I think we're all going to be really excited about this. Robots in Disguise is getting a second season.
Yay! That's good.
It made it through the first season?
I'll have to watch the first season eventually.
I think Cartoon Network actually did eventually finish running the first season.
Yeah, they're rerunning it, like, daily now, I think, if you're, you know, at the same horrible time slot as it, the first run on the weekends, like 6:30.
5:30 a.m. Central, yes.
Uh-huh.
I think the interesting thing about this is they're putting season two out to distributors for, like, a request for proposal to see who wants to carry it. So it's possible this could show up on somewhere like Netflix or something, and Netflix could potentially have season two and not Cartoon Network.
There is a vague possibility, but what you have to remember is where this is coming out of is an international event. So they're also shopping it out for distribution around the world. It's not just for how it's going to be distributed in the U.S. Cartoon Network may have it for the U.S. in perpetuity, but they might still be able to strike different deals in other countries.
Yeah.
Is it a Cartoon Network co-production like Animated was?
I couldn't tell you. I mean,
okay.
You probably know about as much about it as I do.
Gotcha.
I don't think so, because I think they would have given it a better time slot.
That's true.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, the thing is, they might have given a better time slot, but they would have, like, put it into reruns after 3 weeks and waited 9 months to show any more of it.
Yeah.
Like Thundercats and Young Justice and
Green Lantern.
Cartoon Network really treats its shows, right?
Cartoon Network.
Okay, no, but seriously, the big news this week is, of course, Masterpiece Hot Rod. We saw a prototype of that after it was teased in Figure King about a week earlier. And hey, surprise, it's Shockwave.
Yeah.
What the hell?
And that's the reason why I never bought Quake Wave right there. I knew that was going to happen eventually. Mm-hmm.
And oh, the thing is, too, like 2 days before the show started in Japan, a third-party group called Cloud9 showed off.
Good job, Messi.
Wow. Damn. Two in one night. That's.
Is there blood? Don looks like he's in pain. Is there blood?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Right
bad.
There, Don?
Yeah. Okay, that.
Oh, boy.
I think Don's going to turn green and start hulking out. Kitty smash!
I think Don's going... Yes, Massey's going to be in another room for a while, I think.
So anyway, a third-party group called Cloud9 showed off a prototype for their Shockwave figure like 2 days before this showed up.
And Quakewave's also getting re-released, so...
Yeah, you gotta think it sucks to be those Cloud9 guys right now.
Yeah.
Because at least Quakewave has good press around it, and, you know, its own, like, fan following. It can still get some support. I don't think a new Shockwave entering the market's really got a good chance now.
Especially not when what we've seen at the Takara one looks pretty good.
I don't know, I'm thinking my Quakewave looks better, and it's only a great prototype, so I could totally change my mind on that, but I really like my Quakewave.
I'm really going to buy the Takara one. So.
Still, this is the risk, you know, a lot of the third parties are taking, because there's just this little contingent of third party that bugs me anymore that's just basically a race with Takara to get a Masterpiece-style version out of the figures they haven't done yet. And it's really very silly and not worth the time.
I don't know.
One of the big reasons I don't buy third-party Masterpiece toys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there's some things they can produce that you can be pretty sure that Takara is not going to get to for quite a while still. Like, I think if a Galvatron happens, it's still over a year away right now.
Oh, I agree with that, you know. And Shockwave was, of course, a surprise, but you know, Jazz, Mirage, come on.
Of course, you know, we still have yet to hear anything about a Jazz.
Or a Cliff Jumper, I mean...
That boggles my mind. Cliff Jumper, I'm not surprised we haven't heard anything out of. There's logistics to that, you know, making it cartoon accurate when it was a super deformed car. Getting the licensing to that would be a nightmare.
But as soon as they put out that red Bumblebee, I would have been like, now's our chance to do a masterpiece Cliff Jumper.
But Cliff Jumper was a third party.
Right. I'm just saying that's almost like that to me. That kind of said, yeah, we're not doing Cliff Jumper anytime soon. Here's a Red Bumblebee.
We aren't doing Cliff Jumper anytime soon.
Yeah.
But now here's the thing: how long before that, before Bumblebee and G2 Bumblebee and Red Bumblebee are recalled for emissions controls?
Ah, topical humor. Yeah. Well, topical anyway.
Speaking of topical, you okay?
Yeah. He just got my side. Kind of good. It's not much blood, but it's just. I don't know what's wrong with him. Can you see the kidney, Don?
It's bad when you have to rate cat attacks in not much blood.
Yeah, not much blood. It's been worse.
It has been worse because the other night before I went on vacation, he jumped up on the bed. I guess my foot was moving, and he thought it was a creature that he had to pounce on. And I have a claw mark from the top of the ball, the top of my foot, all the way to the end of one of my toes.
Ah.
Well.
So, yeah.
I bet that was fun to walk around on.
I didn't notice until the next morning. I was out like a light, and I woke up, and it's like, why is there blood on my shit? Oh, that's why.
Thanks, Bassie.
Well.
I guess we have the header for the show now. You know, there will be blood.
So, Don.
Yes.
What do you think of Masterpiece Shockwave?
I like the way he looks, but it's like I've said about Quake Wave. Shockwave is not one of those characters that I've needed a upgrade for in my collection. The G1's been fine. For the price, if the price drops, he might be considered more than he is now, because a lot of places are just calling that as a pre-order price, you know, just a hedging their bets kind of thing. I think he looks good so far. I like the way Quake Wave looks. I would like to get that clear purple Quake Wave. But for the money, that's a character I don't need something new for. But I can understand why a lot of people would want a better looking or a more contemporary Shockwave without as bad of a trigger crotch.
What I'm going to be really interested in with Shockwave is to see how the transformation works, because like the legs are kind of skinny, but they're not near as skinny as the original toy, and we all remember what Masterpiece Megatron's gun mode looked like, and I'm kind of wondering if we're approaching the same situation with that.
You could get away with it a little bit more with Shockwave, though, because he doesn't transform into a real gun. So
yeah, right.
Yeah. Well, I think they're going to be looking at the Grimlock school of thought on this one. Masterpiece Grimlock is basically about as far as you could push a G1 transformation and still be a G1 looking Grimlock in both modes and have almost the same conversion. So they're probably looking at doing along those lines something tweaked, but still recognizable as Shockwave.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Doug.
I was going to say, I think it looks a lot like Quake Wave, well, obviously, but I think it's going to transform very similarly to Quake Wave, if not a little bit less complex than what he is. Because it almost looks like the
bad thing.
It almost looks like the waist is going to lift up, and the whole front section's just going to turn.
I think where all the action's going to really be in this is the legs.
Yeah.
And how they go from being like decently sized legs into a good gun handle. Yeah. I mean, Shockwave would probably be a fun masterpiece to have too if it gets worked out the right way. Because I mean, you'll get this great big Shockwave ray gun you can walk around and you know. That sounds like the most fun with a masterpiece.
I keep thinking of the Shockwave commercial where he just sort of just does that quick little arm fold and just goes, you know, from the commercial. I kind of like, you know, just like, you know, just everything just sort of, I'm thinking it'll be like, that's what I'm saying, real close to the G1 transformation, but like Grimlock, they pushed it a little bit to add a little more to it.
Yeah, and to get better proportions out of the robot. Yeah.
All right, so here's a question. Do we want lights and sounds on this thing?
I think it'll have a light.
It's going to have to have at least lights on it.
Yeah.
One
really, really awesome.
one of the Japanese sites that reported on this did note that it's supposed to have some kind of light up function, which will probably be the arm cannon.
I'm not sure how I feel about light up gimmicks in my Masterpiece toys, because that's like the one thing about Grimlock I could really do without.
Well, MP01 had it, right? The Matrix lit up.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I mean, it's been there since the beginning.
Really blindingly brightly too.
The cool thing though with Shockwave is that you really would, you could have the battery in the gun arm and it'd be like it wouldn't be on the back, and you would have to have the hose there and all that wiring, because with the way electronics works, you could just have like a small little battery in the gun arm and one of his ridges along his arms is like a switch or something, and then you could have one in the head. So there's you could do localized electronics without having everything tied to one switch or the trigger.
Ultimately, I would actually hope that the electronics, the lights, are just restricted to the gun arm, because, like you say, there's enough space to contain that completely within that forearm. If you start moving it up to where, like, the eye also glows or something like that, then you're getting back into wiring, and that's going to impede the toy.
Yeah. Now, for the eye, we've seen a lot of companies. One thing the third party seem to do is have really, really good light piping on a lot of their figures. So if they can pull off an excellent back of the head with the light piping, they really wouldn't need the eye to glow from battery power.
If you get the right kind of clear yellow plastic in there, you could get a really bright looking just glow from room lighting.
Yeah.
Be pretty nice too. All right, so let's talk about Hot Rod a little bit. Because Hot Rod doesn't look quite as elegant at this stage as Shockwave does.
No.
Yeah, I'm hoping this is just from being a very early prototype. So.
Well, now, neither one of these. Really obvious problem with Hot Rod, which is that apparently the whole car body shell is going to just collapse into the front and back of the torso. And all the limbs are just kind of tucked underneath in car mode. So you got a lot of stuff going on in the mid-body.
Yes, his midsection is composed primarily of body panels, basically. Collapsed body panels.
Yeah, I'm worried for, like, the structural strength of the whole thing based on that, because that's going to be a lot of hinges and small moving parts. I'm also concerned for what the car mode's going to look like as a result of that.
I agree.
That seems like it could produce a lot of ugly panel lines.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the thing. Now, again, I think we mentioned this in the free show. His chest with the headlights, that's what draws my eyes, being the one thing that's wrong as it sits right now. But again, this is an early prototype. I just really hope that chest isn't that.
Yeah, I think that's just because it's the prototype, and that's clear plastic against the resin, so that's what your eyes are really focused on.
Yeah.
I think in color it'll look a lot better.
It will, because, like, the chest has problems just because it is this big, smooth, flat surface with no detailing. That's because all the detail for that has to come out of the deco.
Yep.
When those headlights are colored correctly, when the material surrounding them is colored to match the rest of the torso, it's all going to start to fit together a little bit better visually. And I think when it is in plastics, all the parts will literally fit together a little bit more than they are now, because it really looks like that chest is not catching all the way down at the bottom.
Yeah.
And one thing I'm thinking of, now this is kind of just out of the blue thought, Hot Rod had a couple of different transformations in the movie. They didn't stick
four or
one
five, yeah.
Every time transformed, it was different, yes.
Yeah. So I'm wondering, did they use the movie and pick one of those to simulate, or is it something completely different?
Well, it certainly doesn't look like they used the transformation where his shoulders swiveled on his arm behind his chest.
Now, see, that would be a masterpiece. I want to figure where
that
it
would be. Yeah, because I was hoping.
Yes.
Well, that's the one he uses on Quintessa. Yeah, that I
no,
would
I,
like
I,
to see.
I'm with Matt on this, though. I want a masterpiece Hot Rod that can transform every way it ever transformed in the movie.
And just so everyone knows, I mean, right now, pre-orders went up at $89.99, so this would put that at that Datsun and Lambor.
The Autobot car.
Yeah, the Autobot car size, so this is truly a Hot Rod figure and not a Rodimus Prime.
That's the size I want Hot Rod to be, so.
You know, I'm
Hot Rod typically should be a little bit taller than a Datsun or, you know, an original Diaclone car, but yeah, shorter than Optimus. And it looks, from everything we can see, it looks like it's fitting into the range dictated by the old size charts.
Yeah.
So, like, it'll probably have the mass and complexity, but its volume is going to be distributed a little bit differently than a Datsun or a Sideswipe.
I'm wondering if they're going to add a Targetmaster Firebolt to his accessory count.
I hope not.
So that way you could have regular Hot Rod from the movie with his weapons or his sidearms, or you could have him as Firebolt as a target.
That'll probably be a Japanese Amazon exclusive or something.
Yeah,
but there's going to have to be like a good little bit of engineering going into a little Target Master buddy for a masterpiece. It might be too much of an investment to just make exclusive to Amazon or something. I'm really thinking that might go like full second run, like some variant like Gold Bumblebee. The other option too is maybe they could dig out the Hasbro Target Master tooling from Masterpiece Rodimus.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's true. They get another use out of that. But you know, I'm wondering, with all the Autobots Target Masters being slightly different, there's not one body that they could use.
Yeah.
If they wanted to make a Masterpiece Target Master, they all transform too differently. Mm-hmm. For there to be one body without doing a lot of remolding on that same form.
Yeah.
I love how they put Masterpiece ?
That's...
Like, we don't know what this is going to be. I mean, we've all got we're almost up to 30 now, so it's like...
We don't know which one we're going to finish first, so...
Yeah, even for me, when we talk about, like, previous Masterpieces, like, which number was Soundwave? I don't remember anymore. There's been too many Masterpieces to be like, it was easy when 14, it was 1 14? Through 10 or, yeah.
14?
I think so.
It's almost like we don't even need the MP, we don't refer to that other than MP10, that's the only one we really refer to as the MP numbering.
And sometimes, like, you know, take the Starscream body, for example, you know, there's the MP3 version, which is the original tooling, and then there's the MP11. The remade body, and in that case it's useful to have the series number to distinguish them easier. But yeah, for the most part, especially when it's like, you know, when it's the number and then it's, you know, so many different versions, but the letter at the end distinguishing them.
You know,
that's
not
really helpful either.
You just made me think of something, not to go too off topic, but because we're getting a resized Hot Rod, maybe we can get some resized Seekers in this size. I would love that.
Okay, so
they're still releasing the hell out of that Seeker mold, though.
I know, but I'm just hoping for some Seekers that I can pose in robot mode that scale with the others.
Here's the thing. The cartoon was not the best about following it, but the Masterpieces right now are trying to follow the old animation model scale guide, and the Seekers are actually more or less appropriate size going by that in robot mode. So getting smallered down Seekers. Hey, I'm the host. I can make up as many words as I want to. Getting reduced size Seekers, like, I can see the appeal, but I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
Now, Chris, I had a thought on this the other day when I first saw it, and I was going to run this past y'all and see what y'all thought, see what the listeners thought. Do you think maybe Hasbro, with the way this is engineered, do you think they'll try to do like a Rodimus Prime add-on trailer?
No.
I sincerely doubt it.
No, because, like, they dropped the Rodimus Prime trailer thing from their Masterpiece Rodimus, and the original Masterpiece Rodimus had what you're talking about. It had add-on parts to become Rodimus Prime vehicle. Hasbro ditched that idea entirely and just made it Masterpiece Hot Rod with a Rodimus option.
And what are they charging for, like, Masterpiece Prowl and the other cars that size by themselves? Yeah, I don't see them wanting to increase the price on those any further.
Yeah, it's just with as long as his legs is, if you didn't extend the legs into the up towards the body and you flatten the feet, you could maybe make a trailer that would snap over those as a possible add-on part to make him Rodimus Prime.
That sounds like a third-party deal there, Don.
Yeah, it really kind of does. And besides, like, all you're basically just describing, you know, Masterpiece Rodimus's vehicle pretender shell.
Right.
I mean, it's basically just retreading on that idea, which nobody really liked.
Yeah. I was just afraid that's something they might consider as an option instead of getting us another Rodimus Prime after getting a Hot Rod.
Okay, so here's my hopes for Masterpiece Hot Rod. One is that it's not the fragile pile of crap that Masterpiece Rodimus was. I think we can all agree on that one. Especially, you know, our friends who have had pieces just fall off while it's on display in a cabinet somewhere not being touched.
I am so glad I never bought that thing.
The other thing is I want at least one recolor of this mold to use the E-Hobby Black Rodimus colors with the nice purple and teal.
Yes.
So that I can own that deco on a toy that's not garbage.
Which I think there's a good chance of that because really there aren't a whole lot of prominent Hot Rod recolors out there. That's like, one of the few.
Yeah, so. Like they could, they probably won't, but they could go to the G2 comics, which had Hot Rod looking very purple, like a very red purple. And like they could go for that. I think that sounds kind of like an E-Hobby thing to do because like they've done some comic-based color sets for other stuff that didn't have a lot built in. But yeah, I think the Black Rodimus is probably more likely, and I just hope they go back to that really pretty Black Rodimus color scheme.
They'll make it pink in called RC.
Don't make me hurt you. I'm an injured man. Don't make me have to.
It's not much blood, Don. You said yourself.
Moving along. So we just have a few quick items to go through here. We've got new Legion and Minicon assortments of Robots in Disguise due in November. What really I want to talk about with this is two of the pictures that came along with this. We finally got to see the Legion class Windblade transform correctly.
And it does wow, yeah, look at that.
That makes a hell of a difference.
Mm-hmm.
I still would like to see, like, you know, a Warrior class one come up here somewhere in the near future, just because I'm not really into the Cyberverse stuff quite that much. And also, Legion class Clampdown, which is the most charming thing ever.
Yeah, that looks pretty awesome. That will be the one I get.
They've announced season 2, and, you know, the show's going to go on. That means the toy line's going to continue. I really hope we get more of the oddball Decepticon designs in the larger toys.
Yeah, because I have the one-step Thunderhoof, and he's okay. But I really want a Warrior-class Thunderhoof.
Mm-hmm.
I would troop build that, that clamp down. That's just...
That Clampdown's really cool. Unfortunately, in this promo picture, they got standing on its arms instead of having them actually out as the lobster claws are supposed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're losing a little bit of something with this, but, like, the idea is getting across. You know the character. You know that this is going to be accurate enough to the design, and it's really entertaining to me.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Okay, so moving on from there, we have in-hand photos of the... Combaticons, the Combiner Wars Combaticons. And I gotta tell you, my enthusiasm, pretty low.
Yeah, it's the new old packaging.
I'm still really excited about this. That I crave that swindle.
Is Brahmus transformed in this? Because...
the turret's too far forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a mistransformation. There were... I think there was one or two other pictures, or maybe it was those uncolored test shot photos that showed the turret back where it's supposed to be.
Wow, that's really bad.
Yeah.
But looks pretty nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's okay. I'm interested to get Onslaught and Brawl and Swindle pretty well. Vortex and Blastoff can pretty much just go Blastoff.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I may very well hold out for a Takara version of this, honestly.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, you're still going to end up with the Vortex, the Alpha Bravo Vortex.
Yeah.
Either way you go.
But it might appealing.
Yes, I'm sure we'll get another a Space Shuttle Blastoff from Takara.
Yeah, I'm Unfortunately, I'm probably going to wind up getting both just because I love Bruticus. He's my favorite American combiner.
I get both because it's Combiner Wars, and that's what I do. I mean,
I will probably pick up Onslaught, the Hasbro Onslaught, regardless, because, like, from what we're seeing right now, it looks like the first version that'll be coming out will be the silver chestplate version, which is what I want, and I'm not going to count on Takara to not do brown chestplate on their version.
Yeah.
Plus,
that's an excellent mold, and I don't mind having spares.
Yeah. Now, I'm trying to remember Battle Gaia's Deca. Would Battle Gaia be, I mean, if they went with that, would that be the opposite Deca of this? Because I don't remember Battle Gaia's Deca off the top of my head.
Battle Gaia doesn't really look like Bruticus, so...
Yeah, or Bizarro Bruticus.
Right.
Yeah, he looks like something else. Am I crazy in saying that this mold looks dated already?
Yeah, it does, because we've seen these molds for so long. I mean,
it looks old.
Yeah,
well, that's like because half of it is. That's because half of it is.
Yeah, the sad part is,
especially Alpha Bravo.
Yeah, but it's not even old. You know what I mean? It's like a year old.
It's prematurely old because parts of it have been run too many times already in the year that they've existed.
Yeah, those hand-foot gun things look like they may as well be 10 years old.
Like, I'm really interested in Victorion. I'm glad you brought that up. I'm really interested in Victorion because Victorion has new parts for the hands and feet.
Yeah.
But still, and it has that two combining Alpha Bravos. Weapons.
It's okay, though, because those Alpha Bravos have retooling.
Yes.
No, they have new parts.
Okay. It's still not okay.
It's more okay than Vortex.
I was going to say, this Brawl compared to G1 Brawl... You know, G1 Brawl looks old, but third-party Brawl, you know, or third-party Bruticus compared to this Bruticus makes this Bruticus look like G1.
It just depends. I mean... Yeah.
But I like my simple Combiner Wars toys, so this is where I'm going.
To me, this looks better than, what was it, Colossus?
Warbitron?
Warbitron.
Oh, okay.
Fans Project 1.
Yeah, the upgrade kits.
Yeah, I love that upgrade kit. I have that.
It's a wonderful piece of engineering for what it did, but, like, you know, it's aged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He looks way too anime. And,
you know, Warbitron's not really a good thing to compare to either, because that's, you know, much bigger figures, greatly higher complexity and price to match, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could buy the Hasbro one 5 times for what I'd pay for the, you know, Orbitron one, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And probably have a more poseable, playable toy in the end of it, too.
I was just saying, I think my... You know, I have the Orbitron version, and to me, that's going to be my Bruticus. I'm still buying this, but that's going to be my Bruticus.
No, and I mean, you know, that's perfectly fair. That's perfectly fair. You've got the Bruticus that appeals to you most, that you really enjoy. You know, all points to you for that. Nobody's trying to force you to decide this is, like, superior in any particular way. But for my interest, like, Combiner Wars combiners, in general, you can play with them.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
They're not overly heavy. They don't fall apart when you move the limbs. You know, they're good toys.
I'm pretty sure you can throw these across the room and they'd be perfectly fine.
Ah, but, the question there, do you want to throw them across the room?
Sometimes. It depends on who's on the other side of the room.
If you throw it across the room and it wasn't okay, you could go to the store and buy a new one for, you know, $15.
And that's the thing. I feel like I could take a Combiner Wars combiner and throw it across the room. It'd land on the other side and be pretty much okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if something came off, it would probably be at a joint where you could pop it right back on.
Uh-huh. Most of the time, I'm afraid to, like, put my third-party toys in storage. Just for fear that something's going to snap off on them in the meantime.
That's scary.
And to be fair, it's more a matter of, like, how much I've paid for these. I'm being a little overcautious.
Well, I don't blame you there either.
Yeah. Okay, so finally in official news, we have a new Transformers trademark found, which is, you know, a little bit interesting based on things we heard at BotCon. Titans Return.
Yeah, I'm curious to see, you know, how this... fits into everything we know. I'm wondering, is it going to just be the tagline for Titan Wars, or did they decide that Titan Wars was too similar, subtitled to Combiner Wars and Titans Return is what it's actually going to be?
Titans Return could also be like a transitional thing. It could be
leading
like
up to Titan Wars.
It could be like Clash of the Transformers, where it's a specific store exclusive sub branding to recolor some old toys forward and, you know, flush things out a little bit. There's a lot of things it could be, and mostly I think this just kind of cements in what we already figured, which is that we're gonna see the transition off of Combiner Wars probably a little bit sooner than the end of next year.
Yeah.
For better or worse. Yeah, I mean, usually I'm not really interested in talking about trademark stuff, because either it's, like, really obvious stuff like renewing Breakdown, or it's, there's just not a lot of conversation to it, but this kind of interests me, especially since we're moving into New York Comic Con in a couple weeks, and maybe we'll hear some little inkling of what's in the future.
A couple weeks? It's next week.
Damn! Ooh, wow. But we'll talk more about that in a little bit.
Yes.
But first, we're done with the official news, so you know what time it is. I'd like to tell you about the good word, tfradio.net/Amazon. So, just last week, I bought myself a new mouse, because I've been buying Big Lots crappy mice for, well, months and months and months, and I usually burn through them pretty quick. You know, those cheap scroll wheels just give up really fast. So, I got this. It's the Red Dragon Perdition laser gaming mouse, which has 18 buttons, all programmable. This is actually a really cool mouse. Also, it's got these LED lights, and you can set them to virtually any color. I have mine orange, naturally. No, this is really cool, though. The mouse is really comfortable to hold in your hand, and the buttons are pretty conveniently placed. But what's really great about this, it has really powerful driver software. You can program macros to these buttons. You can set key combinations. You can have them do almost anything just within the driver software itself. Add a little extra software like auto hotkey, and you really can have this mouse do literally anything you want it to on your computer. And this was $30, and I got it through tfradio.net/Amazon. Well, it was $30. I had a gift code. It retails closer to $40. But that is just one of the many great things you can get from Amazon using the TF Radio link. And, you know, when you do, it doesn't cost you any more. It didn't cost me any more. But the podcast gets some money back from that. And we keep bringing you all these wonderful shows. So, you know, take a minute out. If you're going to buy something on Amazon, just, you know, consider hitting up tfradio.net/Amazon first. We've also got, you know, a few direct links to specific products that you can find from the website.
You know, yeah.
Just think about it.
If you go to tfradio.net and you scroll on to Amazon, it looks like they have Transformers Generations, Combiner War, the White Optimus Prime, the Optimus Maximus, which I don't think has shown up in stores yet, but they have it in stock. They also have...
I heard the other day they had some of the Leader Class toys marked down on Amazon.
Really? They have Devastator, too, still, which has disappeared from stores. So if you haven't jumped on Devastator yet, I would get it now, because once Amazon sold out of it, it's probably going to be gone. And then they do have Generations Leader Class Ultra Magnus figure for $40. And they have...
Go check on Thundercracker real quick.
Thundercracker?
I'm already there. Thundercracker is $26.70.
Oh, I'm going to pick him up for that price.
Yeah, I believe Leader Megatron is $35, and Armada Megatron is $25.
Ooh.
Wow.
And, you know, that Megatron mold, you know, whether you prefer the Armada variation or the G1, that is a pretty solid base mold. I really like the G1 version for its deco. But, I mean, at either price, I mean, that's definitely something you should consider getting. And all this more, tfradio.net/Amazon.
Well, just to let you know a couple of the prices while I'm here. You're right. Armada Megatron is $25. Generation 1 Megatron is $36. Thundercracker, of course, was the $26.70.
Magnus
is $40.
40's a good price for Magnus too.
Magnus is the best one, so
in-store retail is between like $46 and $50, so you are still getting a deal on this because you qualify for free shipping.
The convention I was at like 2 or 3 weeks ago, the cheapest Magnus on the floor was $70.
Yeah. And now, unfortunately, leader class Starscream is still a regular price. Well, about $49.
Well, it's still brand new, Don.
Yeah. Give it time. It'll go down too.
Yeah.
TF Radio.
And especially as we move closer to the holiday season and we get closer to Black Friday, more lightning deals will come up. And some of these, you know, higher price, if they still have Devastators as we get closer to Thanksgiving, you will probably see some discounts hit that.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I'm just looking at anything else. They've got the. I'm sorry, that's leader class.
That's fine, Don. I think we've done enough.
Okay.
We've done enough damage.
That's some good sales, though, definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. If I didn't have almost $100 of Takara pre-orders coming later, in a few weeks, I would definitely probably be picking up that Thundercracker for $27.
I was trying not to buy any more of that Jetfire mold because I have Kronos and I'm perfectly fine with him. But
why don't the people who made Kronos make a Thundercracker and a Starscream version of that?
The gentleman is not doing toys anymore.
Perhaps that's for the best. No offense.
Yeah, it's definitely for the best.
Right. So third party news. Speaking of Kronos. No, we're not going to talk about Kronos at all. We're actually going to talk about something I thought was really cool, which came out of some toy show. I have no idea what. It is GOD-01 Thunderstorm, which is IDW Thunderwing.
I was going to say, I don't get this, so you're going to have to explain it to me.
Yeah, same here.
Okay, so the Stormbringer miniseries, which is the same thing Mega Steel's Granville, whatever they're calling it now, Storm Emperor, their Megatron figure was based off of. So the redesign Don Figueroa did for Thunderwing had it so Thunderwing has the big jet mode, and all the jet parts basically turn into a cape in normal robot mode. Then all that stuff can fold around. The engines turn into big arms. The legs extend, and that's a super robot mode, basically as a way to work in the Pretender shell without, you know, the hokey Marvel Pretender process. It's a really cool, really toyetic design that I've always wished there was a good toy of. Well, any toy. And now this new third party, that part makes me a little nervous, but I am so interested in this design actually being expressed in plastic at this point. If the price is not insane, I will definitely take a chance on this. I'm just kind of excited that like the third parties are more and more starting to look at the IDW redesigns of some of this stuff as a viable ground to dig into for producing toys, especially since Stormbringer was several years ago. I don't think this is something Hasbro is going to ever revisit, especially since we got Generations Thundercracker, which was very vaguely based on Don's art. I don't think this is something they're going to like revisit, but that really makes it perfect for someone to pick up like this.
It looks like this is going to be pretty big. Isn't that MP10 on the shelf beneath it?
Quite possibly.
And I believe it, but correct me if I'm wrong, but in Stormbringer, Thunderwing was supposed to be pretty gigantic too, wasn't he?
Yeah, Thunderwing was a monster.
Yeah, so...
If I remember the story right, Thunderwing was basically responsible for destroying Cybertron.
Yeah. I do remember reading at least some of that once upon a time, and I'm pretty sure you're right.
Mm-hmm. I think part of the story was that they were going to unleash Thunderwing on Nebulos also.
Ah.
Something like that. It's been a long time, and that stuff starts to run together.
Yes.
But mostly I'm just excited. This is going to be a toy, probably.
Yes.
Unless the company folds before it comes out. Who knows?
Well, maybe they can sell the design to another company if they do.
Well, I'm encouraged that there actually is a prototype. Like, they've gotten far enough into this that there's a physical thing to show. It's not a render or a silhouette. If it was, we wouldn't be talking about it. You know, there's actually a thing that gives me a lot of confidence this will actually come out somewhere.
Yeah.
Although there was the BTS prototype of that
Nova Lord.
Nova Lord.
Although I'm not even sure that ever made it past like a resin sculpt.
Oh, I'm sure it didn't. They probably figured out the cost and what they would have to sell it for, and it was probably ridiculous. They're like, "Oh man, we made a mistake."
Like this looks like a test shot or something. This doesn't look like a hand carved piece.
Yeah.
I think this is farther along in the process. So, also on the IDW track here, something I thought was really funny, which is that two different companies at the same time have announced their upgrade kits for Combiner Wars Optimus to make it look like IDW.
Yes, and they're in terms of just
from combining.
Yes,
that's okay. Yeah. It combines poorly anyway, so I don't care.
Yeah, and I think the Beelzebub version looks really nice. And
yeah.
It has been shown that you can keep all of these pieces attached while transforming it, so that...
Yeah, the SND Primo Vitalis is not that detailed in demonstrating its transformation, but just looking at it, it seems like most of the pieces are staying in generally the same place, so I think they might have figured that part out, too.
Yeah.
What's more interesting with the SND version is that they've also teased a Nova Prime version.
Yes, a Devastation Nova Prime, more or less.
Which, I mean, if anything, yeah, I mean, it kind of sells itself, don't you think?
Yes. If I ever actually end up with Battlecore Optimus Prime, I would be very interested in that upgrade kit. First, I'll have to find it.
You should end up with a Battlecore Optimus, because at least it has the fixed hip ratchets.
Yeah.
No, but I think if this SND kit takes any traction at all, it's going to be with the Nova Prime version.
Yeah.
Until Beelzebub announces, you know, their Nova Prime recolor also. Which I'm expecting any minute now.
Yes.
No, the Beelzebub one's actually pretty impressive just for how much it does around the base figure, so you don't have to really do any parts forming with it. And somehow making it also the size or the height of a leader class toy, more or less.
Yeah.
It looks like there's at least partial replacement of the thighs involved in that, but what surprised me was the proportions don't really seem to be screwed up by that.
Yeah, well, well, that Prime was always kind of, you know, broad and squatty to begin with.
Yeah.
But, yeah. If you look at the one photo, it looks very much what it has is thigh extensions. You actually just take them apart at the swivel and attach, you know, this between the upper and lower legs.
Which I think is actually a really good way to handle that.
Oh yeah, I think it's really neat.
The SND one had pre-orders open up today, and that's at about $50. I'm kind of hoping the Beelzebub one manages to clock in a little bit lower, since I like that better, and it's from a company that's, you know, tested.
Yeah.
I mean, an upgrade kit's not a bad place to start for a new company, but I'm still, you know, hesitant a little bit.
Yeah.
Especially at $50. You know, start it at $35 just to get people convinced of your quality and make it up later.
I'm impressed by what they can make it for what it is. I think both kits are pretty impressive.
Yeah, just the degree to which they can make this look like IDW Optimus in each case is actually pretty impressive to me. Like, the most distinctive feature is the chest design, so that's not, like, a difficult thing to work in, but just, you know, doing that, it kind of brings the overall silhouette of the toy more in line with that.
Yeah. And I'm more willing to let some flaws go just because it's not like they're creating a new figure. They're upgrading an existing Hasbro product to be this, you know, different version of Optimus. To me, that's a lot more impressive than just making your own figure.
Ultimately, what I'd like to do is get the reproduction replacement hip ratchets with the extra click points in them. You know, install those on Optimus, put one of these kits on. It, you know, all things being equal, that ought to turn it from a decent toy that I like to something really kind of excellent, the way this all looks together.
And of course, one of the side effects, one of the benefits of this on the Beelzebub kit is that it brings the size in line with leader class figures, so it's more a better counterpart to your Megatron.
Apparently, the SND one also bumps it up to leader size.
Yeah.
I think that actually has full-out thigh replacements. It's not just half the thighs being swapped out.
Yeah.
And also, the feet work differently, so there's some boost from the ankles. Like, it looks like the SND one uses the combiner ports in the soles of the feet to connect the new boots.
That's pretty clever, too.
Yeah. Okay, so next thing is something I think we're all also pretty excited about, which is some new color test shot photos of Make Toys Pandanus, the big monster Scorponok.
Yep, he's also at the Terrorize Your Wallet.
Yeah, I think I was more impressed with him in gray prototype form, and maybe that's just me trying to talk myself out of it.
Well, but I'm pretty sure it's you trying to talk yourself out of it, yes.
It's very busy, yeah. I think.
I think I see that.
Go ahead, Don. Were you going to say something?
Oh, yeah. No, I was going to say it's sort of like, and Rob and Chris will understand this is probably better, but it's sort of like seeing a figure art figure of a character than seeing the SIC figure.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah, this does feel more like a super inventive Chogokin kind of take on Scorponok. Yeah. That has actually kind of bugged me about it for a while. No pun intended.
Yeah.
Yeah. I find it interesting that they stayed so close to the Metroplex design with Utopia, but they skewed way out into left field with this.
Yeah,
I can kind of take this though, cuz like the way I can reconcile this is, okay, this is Zarek's giant city-sized scorpion monster robot. And then somewhere along the line there is the more, you know, typical humanoid G1 Scorponok-looking Scorponok, which is just, you know, Zarek.
Actually, like, I'm not saying I don't like it. I think it's fantastic. I can't afford it, but...
Right.
Actually, yeah, it'd be great if somebody were to make Scorponok into a two-step headmaster like Fortress Maximus along those lines.
Yeah. Because, G1 Scorponok's not complex. You could make a deluxe size figure that turns into a head for a big Scorponok and have it basically do the same form.
Yeah.
It's... I like it, and I would like to get it, but it's sort of like there's something about it that is keeping me from just wanting it outright. But
price
I don't
tag?
price aside, but you're right. You're definitely right. But there's something about it. I think it's the way the legs look like he's kind of hunched. Mm-hmm. It's almost like he's in Dreamwave art. Like it's just sort of...
Yeah.
He does look pretty squat. Yeah.
And that kind of bugs me for some reason.
And see, like, that's the thing where I'm talking about where it seems more like, you know, Scorponok Megazord. You know, this is supposed to convey Scorponok being the size of a city more than how usually in, like, the Marvel comics he was just a big dude.
Yeah.
This is Serpentera's robot mode.
Something like that, yeah. No, I mean, like, just in that context, like, you know, the hunched over posture... the arms looking bigger than the legs, it all kind of conveys this huge mass to the design. It's supposed to be the equal of Utopia. It's supposed to be huge and ungainly and heavy looking.
I think part of what throws it off and makes the arms look so much bigger is the gigantic claws.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, I can absolutely see what they're going for. At the same time, I can absolutely see why this is not going to be something that appeals to everyone on that basis, because it is such a divergence from a traditional Scorponok look. That said, I'm still pretty into it and will regret mightily that I will never be able to afford it.
Yeah, I still like the way it looks. I think it looks great in color, and I will never not love that Decepticon symbol on the stinger.
Yeah, that's cool.
That is fantastic. And I think the headmaster even has like a Jedi braid with like a spike on the end of it.
Yeah.
Correctly from BotCon. Yeah.
From the post that was associated with these pictures, I think the head actually turns into a little scorpion.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. It does. According to the text anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I like this as Scorponok. I'm going to love it as Black Zarek.
Exactly. That's the thing that's going to kill people.
Yeah, you got a good point there, John.
Yeah.
That's going to be the killer.
Do you think the legs will stretch out anymore? I'm just
probably
wondering.
Probably not.
Yeah, I mean, they can, I think. I think they can extend, but they're not, like, meant to look like that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you can stretch them out, but
it's
they're
kind of
really
like Don,
meant to be
like,
kind of, you know, bent.
It's like Supreme Cheetor. You can straighten the legs out for the most part. It doesn't look right, and the toy won't stand that way, but you can straighten the legs out properly.
Yeah. Like I said, I think it's the gigantic claws that are making it look so off. Like, the arms themselves, if you would put regular sized hands for that robot on there, it would not look as bad.
Yeah, it's just... He looks like, in this universe, if Utopia was like the elves, he'd be a dwarf. You know,
just... Let's just talk in analogies for the rest of the show. See how that sounds. I love it.
Okay, so finally in third-party news, because we're running a light one this week. That's why we've already been at this for an hour and 6 minutes. DX9 Hulky color test shot photos with a little bit of a redesign. The redesign being they put a Devastator crotch plate on it.
Oh, I was going to say now he has legs, because I don't remember ever seeing this with legs.
Okay, so originally, as I understand, this was all supposed to be integral parts. Like, everything that makes Devastator is part of one of the toys. You don't add anything on. And apparently people complained that it had, you know, the missing crotch plate element. So they went ahead and designed that as an add-on piece. Hmm. Now, of course, you can
and
still
now
form...
people will complain that there's kibble.
Probably, but you can still form the combined mode, you know, the same way it was intended to. This is just... If you want that piece on, you can clip it on when you're done.
Parts forming.
Yeah. But I think this looks really nice in color.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they had the chest plate in purple to make it stand out a little bit more, I'd like to see that.
Which will probably be a paint thing, yeah.
And I think I need to see it painted.
Yeah.
It's lacking a lot. I almost prefer seeing it in gray prototype than this, you know, plastic, non-painted.
Well, and see, like, I like seeing it at this stage because, like, if this is accurately indicative of the plastic colors that we'll use, I like the shade of green they pick. I think the base plastic layout for the colors is actually really nice looking, and the paint is just going to accentuate that.
Yeah, and I can see that point, too. I mean, obviously, everything's pretty much in the plastic that it's going to be on this, except the new crotch piece and maybe the head. Because I don't... Would they go all black and then paint the head, or would...
Well, okay, so, like, Devastator's helmet is black, the face is silver, and there's, you know, a red or yellow visor, depending on what you go for. So, like, all they gotta do is silver in the face and put a blob on the visor. So,
yeah.
I would think they would cast it in black plastic.
Yeah, so everything is in the color that it's going to be in, except for the crotch plate,
which is itself just a test shot piece, like a first stage test shot piece, just to make sure it fits.
Right.
Since they had to add it late.
Add it later, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm interested in this. Ultimately, I'm afraid it's probably going to price me out, just because, like, we know the price range these Legends scaled figures tend to run.
For a two-pack, like, they're about $40-$45.
Yeah,
so
about
$50
for a two-pack, so you're looking at $150
bucks.
For a Devastator.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this is cool for doing something different in the, you know, increasingly deep, you know, inbreeding of the third-party Devastators, but yeah, I don't know when it comes down to if I'm going to be able to cough up that money for it. Good effort, though, guys. Good effort.
Yes.
So, Diecast is going to be at New York Comic Con next week, taking pictures and eating Hasbro's food at their pre-New York Comic Con media party. So, what I want to put to you guys is, what do we want to see out of the Transformers stuff at this event?
I want to see something Titan Wars.
I want to see something other than repaints.
I want to see Technobots.
Ooh,
Keep dreaming.
Yep. No, I think we might get that. I think that's
Ezra
a possibility.
Ezra
I think
no,
we don't
they'll
get
all
them,
be new molds. What are you talking about?
I think if we don't get them at New York Comic Con, we'll have them by Toy Fair. But
yeah.
I hope we get silhouettes, and they're just the Aerobot silhouettes. Untouched.
Like, we walk in and there's no toys set up except for the ones we've seen already.
No, I just want silhouettes of Wave 1, and underneath it, it says Technobots 2016. That'd be so awesome.
And it'll be off-road and yes. Firefight.
Yeah, it'll be
Alpha Bravo.
What about just 4 Alpha Bravos and just color it like the Technobots?
I would cry.
I want 4 Rooks.
I would cry myself to sleep. 4
Rooks and Cyclonus.
Okay. No, what you do. You take the G2 colors for Rotor Force and just put those on 4 Alpha Bravos. And make that the next G2 box set combiner.
So it is really important to mention that the Hasbro event is going to be on Wednesday night. So that is going to be during the live RFC next week, which unfortunately I won't be a part of, except for calling in once have some
Periscope. So.
Yeah, tweeting us some information at TF Radio on Twitter.
You better scope.
Scoping, yeah. I'm going to have to scope, especially because, you know, that'll be the quickest way to get stuff out there real quick.
I hope we'll see as far as their plans for the Masterpiece releases in the U.S., what might be coming up soon with the Masterpieces. I hope that we see, as Chris said earlier, more Warrior-class Decepticons for RID, because there's a lot of really unique molds and designs in there. I think we will see an Ultra Magnus level surprise, because no one was expecting Ultra Magnus at the last show.
That was Toy Fair.
Based on IDW.
Okay, Don, so, let me give you a little bit of perspective here. The biggest surprise from the last New York Comic Con Hasbro fan media thing was Thundercracker.
So now they have a chance to redeem themselves.
That is certainly an idealistic way to look at things, Don.
I think Masterpieces would be more of a Toy Fair thing, generally. We did see the full line of Robots in Disguise for the first time at the Hasbro New York Comic Con event last year. That was pretty much the big thing. And then if you go into Combiner Wars, yes, it was Thundercracker that was the big surprise.
Yeah.
Like
I'm basically keeping my expectations along what Matt has expressed, which is just I want to see something new mold for Combiner Wars that's going to be coming next year besides Skylinks and Brawl.
Yeah, and I think we'll get some confirmation, some final actual Hasbro confirmation about Titan Wars, but I don't think we're going to see anything.
Yeah. You might see Blaster because he's been leaked.
Yeah, that's Blaster's been leaked. There is a possibility they may be very light on Transformer stuff at this event because of the amount of Star Wars stuff that's going to be flooding the market.
Oh, I think we'll see stuff that we already know is coming, like the Combaticons.
Now, that's one thing I just remembered that I am hoping to see more about at this, which is the Combiner Wars animated series.
Yes.
Right. There's going to be a whole panel, basically,
Thursday night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're shoving it all in one panel. Hey, this is time for a plug. Next weekend, or this upcoming weekend's minicast, is me, Diecast, and Tony Fitz talking about Comic-Con. So, Ann is, like, going back-to-back weeks on the minicast, or back-to-back-ish.
Yeah.
I think Kilby airs them out of order, that jerk. But anyway, he's on again this week.
Yeah.
We could see something about Titan Wars, though, if the theory that Titan Wars is what they're just going to brand, like, the leader class line for next year, instead of having it all be under the Combiner Wars banner. Because if it's running parallel, then, yeah, we could definitely see more than we would otherwise expect at this stage.
I mean, we've talked about this before. I hope it's bigger than a leader class. Maybe bring back, like, I think you mentioned the Supreme class. I mean, do something a little bit bigger than leader. If these are leaders and they're calling them Titan Wars, I'm going to be personally disappointed.
But again, it won't be referring to the Titans. It's just going to be the the overall brand name. Like,
yeah.
Combiner Wars Megatron.
But I'm just saying for the Titans that I'm hoping for something bigger than a leader class for them.
Well,
and you'll get that. You'll get your retooled Metroplex's Fortress Maximus.
Also,
Titans may refer to not the size class, but the character's importance in the line as well.
Yeah.
So we might be seeing like Titan Wars Soundwave, not because he's a huge character physically, but he's a Titan of the line. So there could be some wordplay on that as well.
It's not like that, but I think they're going to be pushing the angle from what we've seen of Blaster of the larger leader class figures as playsets,
right?
And Titans in that sense for the smaller cassette size figures to interact with, because we'd had rumors about various cassette characters coming out in the Legends assortment before we heard about Blaster, and I'm pretty sure that's whether or not they wrap the Voyagers and Deluxes into this, I'm pretty sure that Leader and Legends are going to start working together with that play pattern.
I think so too.
Hey, I'm pretty sure we will see at some point Optimus Maximus brought back into the Titan line, recolored as something new, so they can get some use out of that mold.
Nah.
I don't want it, but if they're
maybe
doing playsets.
Maybe it's a Star Exclusive somewhere.
Well, if they bring Stomp and Chop Grimlock out in green, which they have because I saw it today, they'll dig anything out and repaint it. So there's that.
No, Don, you know what they'll do? Remember the Optimus and Bumblebee with the flip out weapons from the Prime line?
Yeah, the weaponizers. Yeah,
the weaponizers were the Voyagers. I think.
No, those are
powerizers. Yeah, so weaponizers.
Yeah.
Good memory, Don. So they'll bring those back for Titan Wars just because they're big.
Yeah. Well, the Prime's not a bad toy. It's just this hollow in the back is all get out.
Hmm. But, what is it these days?
Yeah, and then, of course, Optimus Maximus is hollow in the everything.
Yeah, that's true. I'm also hoping this is not Transformers, but it's Hasbro-related. I do hope we'll finally see a reveal of these Mask and Visionaries trademarks. Also, G.I. Joe for the G.I. Joe fans.
Well, G.I. Joe something would be good to see.
I don't know.
I mean, they license these names around first of the year. It's time to have something out to show.
I mean, we need to see something come out of G.I. Joe since, Mark Webber's gone off from Transformers to go head that up to make something of it. We need to see some fruition come out of that. Otherwise, it's just really sad.
I wonder if they might have anything Titan Wars crossover into the new Joe line.
No.
I would say Mask would be a Toy Fair reveal.
You know what?
They could do a Titan Wars broadside, which is compatible with. I can't find one of my Vipers to grab just off screen right now, but it'll be cross compatible that way. It'll when it's in carrier mode, it'll just be a miniature USS flag for your Vipers.
I would be happy with that.
Yeah.
Well,
supremely happy with that. Repainted as Tidal Wave, too.
But no, just had a long shot idea as what's going to happen with Mask and Visionaries and all that. They're looking at trying to get some of that Skylanders, Amiibo, Disney Infinity money and try and do some kind of video game based around all their properties.
Oh, my God. That is awesome,
Rob.
That's
a good idea. That's a good idea that will end up going the way of Creo, but it's a good idea right now.
I was
going to
say. We're a little late, boys.
That's never stopped them before, and yet the problem is when they jump on that kind of thing, they kind of
jump too late.
They jump too late, and they don't commit enough because they've had little toys I've seen at the store of vaguely along that idea, but $20 plug and play things with not that many features.
Yeah,
that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, this week on the RFC Network, we have Superhero Time Presents, that one episode of Star Trek, where we talk about Deep Space Nine's episode Rivals, which truly highlights everything good about Deep Space Nine's setting, meaning that you can just have a story about what's going on in town that day, like a racquetball rivalry. Being Awesome with Rob Springer has Transformers Fruit Snacks and Q&A about favorite toys from 2015. I could go for some fruit snacks right now,
But are they juicy?
Well, I don't think there's a little rap kid this time, Don. So I don't think Rob would be opposed to that, though. Mm. And on the minicast this week, probably proving that Kilby's putting these up out of order, John talked with Brian Kilby about the secret files and origins of Radio Free Cybertron.
From the files,
man, oh man, he burns my evergreen interviews like the first chance he gets. Like, no, that's a show in theory you could air anytime. Okay,
well, he knew he wasn't going to be on RFC this week, so he had to get himself in there somehow.
Look, yeah. John, you have to understand this is Kilby. If it's about him, it takes all the priority.
Yeah, that's fair.
And it can't be more about him than you talking to him about RFC.
About him.
Yeah.
No, but wait, more about you. No, really. Let's go another 10
Well, it could have been him interviewing himself. It could have been him interviewing himself about RFC.
No, that's
he could have just edited John out completely.
I was going to say, him interviewing himself is that new podcast.
Did anybody listen yet?
I've listened to it, yes.
Okay.
I'm disappointed he didn't actually think of it, but...
Okay, so, like, here's the thing. Kilby is basically the William Shatner of our podcast empire.
Yeah, I'm not going to dispute that.
Yeah, just let that one sit for a minute. And then all of his choices kind of make sense, don't you think?
Yes.
Yeah.
Why did Kilby climb the mountain?
Because it was there.
What is Shatner doing these days anyway? He just kind of disappeared.
Price
you know he's like 85, right?
He's swimming
yeah,
in his pile
his
of money.
I figure ego would like propel him until he dies live during some show somewhere, you know?
Well, he still has a show, doesn't he?
He's still on Twitter frequently, so that's all I know.
Yeah, Priceline commercials.
I think I'm having a heart attack. Is this part of the show? No, I really...
Ladies and gentlemen, that's good to- William Shatner.
Yeah, that's good to know that DieCast is almost as good of an actor as William Shatner.
Well, if Brian is Shatner, I'll be James Doohan. I'm Scotty.
You got the mustache for it this week.
Yeah, and you sound just like him.
That's not far off, like, doing talking in his actual voice and not his, you know, accents he did. Yeah. Not too far off.
He's the real Scotty.
Yeah, the Scotty reality tour. So, Rob, what else is on T-Formers this week?
Well, we've got reviews of More Than Meets the Eye number 45 and the Transformers, formerly known as Robots in Disguise, number 45, both by you, and thank you, because my schedule was ridiculous as usual. But,
that's fine. I kind of wanted to do both those anyway.
Well, that works.
It's nice how they're both on the same number to make it even more confusing.
Yes.
Well, it's not really confusing because the books launched at the same time. We're used to them being on the same number. They don't usually come out in the same week together, but like the numbering's not the confusing part.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I heard one of the. Which one of those is the one that's a standalone? That's good. That's a good new reader one.
More Than Meets the Eye. It's an issue that is not about any of the main cast.
So
it's a side story issue, basically.
Yeah, I'm not sure how well it works as an introduction to More Than Meets the Eye.
I don't think it really does.
Oh. Just go back and start at number one.
Yeah, it's a good introduction to the writing style, maybe, but not to the actual book and what's going on with it.
But and I still think you'd be better starting closer to the beginning because the writing style has evolved, and I'm sorry to say it's almost getting to the point of being a little impenetrable at this point for a new reader, I feel like. Like, it's something you really have to, like, go from the start and kind of let it grow with you as you get into the series.
Let it grow.
Yeah.
Don, where did Matthew go?
He's in his window.
And peace was restored once again.
Yeah. Mm. We've also got... in package sample photos of the Deluxe Combaticons and a story about Hasbro's new creative consultant, Hasbro Studios, TJ Fixman, which is a great name for a guy you want on the second draft.
Oh, that's perfect. So apparently he has contributed quite a bit to the Ratchet and Clank series, And Deadline also credited him with some other things, but I couldn't, like, secondarily confirm most of it.
Ah.
But, I mean, apparently he comes highly recommended.
Oh, this is good.
Yeah, as far as I understand the whole thing, he's just going to be, you know, basically helping them to enrich their fictional universes for all their media outlets, including Transformers.
Yes.
Not the worst thing Hasbro Studios could get, I'm not going to lie.
No.
Okay, so anybody have anything else this week?
No.
Well, all right, then. That will be Radio Free Cybertron for this week. Be sure to be here next week because we will be talking about New York Comic Con, especially if Diecast manages to call in before we end the show.
Yep.
And of course, be following us on Twitter because he will be tweeting out photos and probably periscoping from the event as his data connection permits. So, you know, keep your eyes on us. T-Formers will be covering as well, of course. So, you know, between those places, get all your New York Comic Con news right here. So we will see you next time.
Take care, buddy.
See you later.
Bye.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Jeez, when are these guys ever going to move out of their parents' basements?